Tua.
Fires, touchdown, Miami. Waddle snuck into the end zone of Miami.
Boy, tight throw, tight window. They had to get that touchdown on that play to get it.
What is up, Dolphins, and welcome to the Drive Time Podcast, part of the Miami Dolphins Podcast Network, covering your team, your Miami Dolphins. How's it going, everybody? I am your host, Travis Wingfield, and on today's show, if you can't hear it in my voice, you better check your pulse. We've got Miami Dolphins football to talk about, and I am stoked. It is May, but we have practice from organized team activities. We've also got audio from head coach Mike McDaniel, a handful of players, and my favorite thing to do on this podcast, a practice report for all of you. Again, if you can't tell by my voice, I am very, very fired up. Let me check that pulse. Yeah, it's going. Let's get going from the Baptist Health Studios inside the Baptist Health Training Complex. This is the Drive Time Podcast.
That's another Miami Dolphins.
That is another Miami Dolphins first down. We saw plenty of those on the field on Wednesday. Before we get to that, let's go ahead and start with Coach McDaniel's Wednesday, May the 17th media availability. And he kicked it off by walking in and saying, almost surprised about how many of us were in the media room for this press conference, for this first day of media access to OTAs. And he said, you know, your priorities might be a little bit out of whack considering the fact that there are two playoff games tonight, the Florida Panthers and Miami Heat in the second round of the NHL Stanley Cup playoffs and the Eastern Conference Finals for the Miami Heat, talking about those two games. And so you love hearing him already aware of the other sports in the region and how well those teams are doing. Acknowledging that off the top, you love to hear that. And speaking of local ties, Sony Michel, now a Miami Dolphin. Here's Coach McDaniel on what intrigued Miami to the Dolphins' new running back in Sony Michel.
Sony, you have an opportunity in the offseason to add a player of his caliber, of his pedigree, just him as a human being and a multiple Super Bowl winner, that we jumped at the opportunity. You know, his interests fit our interests, and you know, competition for the Miami Dolphins is only a good thing. And I think one thing that's unique about that particular room is no one shies away from competition, and everybody in there is excited for the offense, for the opportunities, and wants to be wants the best man to win, and aren't backing away from that.
We'll have a chance to get to know Sony Michel on the next edition of the Drive Time Podcast. He'll be joining me here on Drive Time, so you don't want to miss that. Great signing as well. Obviously, added that competition to that running back room, not just in that running back room, but across the entire football team here. And that competition is something he talks about there, something they're not going to shy away from. And I love this next answer here about, he was asked, what's something you want to establish here in your first OTA with the Miami Dolphins? And he talked about the process of the offseason. And it's a lengthy answer, so I'm going to go ahead and just let Coach do the talking for you right here.
I think we've begun that process. You know, there's three phases in the NFL offseason. Phase one is meeting room exclusive. And guys, and we're currently in phase three, where we're actually able to practice for the second time. And phase two, you get to do some drill work and coach them on the field, not in team settings, but and all three phases are really cool to me for the specific reason that you get to coach and not prepare for an opponent. So the we're learning a different language on one side of the ball, and we're refining a language on the other side of the ball, but realistically, you want guys committed to getting better, and you want to really establish how you're going to go about business. You know, we had a bunch of time to prepare for, you know, we had two voluntary mini camps, and now we're this afternoon you guys will see our second OTA. And what was important to me is you don't skip steps in this business. So if we want to make strides and progress as an organization, as a football team, we have to position ourselves so that when we come back for training camp, that we're able to practice and operate at a high caliber level that fits, you know, our goals And there's no easy way to do that. You just don't wish things to happen. You take matters into your hands in the game of football. And guys, I'm very proud of the way they've approached everything from that standpoint.
Just the details of the process along the way really stand out when listening to Coach McDaniel speak, watching this Miami Dolphins team practice. Like, for instance, there was a drill in individuals where every single position group goes through their drills, and it was the handoff, and then after the handoff, the quarterback would catch a ball from an assistant coach and then finish the rep and throw the football. And I was talking to John Congemi about it. You know, you guys all know who John Congemi is. And he was saying, yeah, it gives you an extra rep. You're just doubling your reps that way. And so that's a cool way to kind of give yourself as much work and as little time as you possibly can get out of it and just maximize your opportunity. You heard Coach talk about that, learning a language on one side of the football, refining a language on the other side of the ball. They're going to be detailed in the process and get things down and build towards this thing and not skip steps. You heard him talk about that. Thought it was a really cool answer. He also then talked a little bit about Lynn Bowden was the subject of the question, but he was asked about how attracted he talked about how he was attracted to players who had multiple position experience and specifically the quarterback position because of the way they see the game. Thought that was interesting perspective there, and just in terms of maximizing your knowledge base, maximizing the guys on the field that can communicate that knowledge base. And he's talked about what makes a Miami Dolphin for a long time now in the course of this process since being hired. And it sounds like intelligence is really high up on that list. He was also then asked about the position that's the most difficult to implement his offense within. And he just gives a really good long answer here. Let's go to Coach.
The most drastic disparity from, you know, whatever you'd call, quote, traditional, you enter in when you're coaching players, you're very aware of their past coaching. You make yourself aware of that so that you can best articulate, hey, this is like this or this is not like this. The biggest disparity from a traditional standpoint is the offensive line, without a doubt. It is a full-scale commitment to certain principles and ownership of fundamentals that we ask them to do and to major in. So as far as the off-season program is concerned, it's almost built for our offensive linemen in terms of how to approach things, because you need about 2 weeks of, you know, an hour and a half or hour and 45-minute meetings, which is what phase one allows you, to digest, hey, we're asking you to run off the ball. We're asking you to have these landmarks. We're asking you not to hesitate. And then phase two, you can kind of drill it. That, I think, in terms of, you know, Johnny, don't know his name, coming on the team and then all of a sudden being thrown into the mix, I think that it's the hardest position because we are so committed to our fundamentals and technique. And, you know, offensive linemen are like officials, I would say, where, like, you're not talking about them, and that's a good thing. And they have scars from when they are talked about. So to get them to just let go and let all that stuff, let the past be the past and move forward is the most deliberate and intentional thing that as a coaching staff we have to do. One of the reasons that kind of shaped my whole vision for hiring a coaching staff, I wanted to make sure that the guys that were touching those players, we would be able to see the results of the scheme, and people really dive in and invest, understand where they're coming from, some of the stuff that they have in their past, and let that go and move forward. And I feel very, very comfortable and confident and happy with what, started with Matt Applebaum and Lem has been doing an outstanding job understanding everything that we're trying to do. Mike Person and then Frank Smith, obviously, the offensive coordinator. So that position is probably, I'm not sure if you're, do you have any interest in the offensive line position? Am I boring you? But that it's exciting too, because you get to see guys at that position. I don't know. I feel like we're kind of, it's liberating to a degree, because they're, listen, the guys that, if I were to tell you that, on this team, and this is my seventh team, been in a lot of different places, but this is the, as athletic and capable of any group that might, you might be like, huh, are you crit? But they really are, and they're hungry and committed, and it's been really, really rewarding to watch them work, see the benefits, and then more than that, you know, what's going to happen with your first adversity? Because this just in, offensive linemen have adversity. They live in adversity. And they, how are they going to respond to a run play where they're short on their aiming point? And Christian makes you pay in the backfield, or Sealer, or whoever. And that's the fun part of this part of the year, is you get to focus on them and not an opponent.
I just love that, especially the part talking about the athletic ability and the capability of these guys on the offensive line, consistent with the message we've heard from Mike McDaniel, from Chris Greer, from Frank Smith, from Matt Applebaum, John Embry, the assistant head coach as well. This offensive staff and the belief of the players they have on the offensive line to get them coached up, to get them playing, and to get this offense really humming there. So importance of the offensive line not lost on this coaching staff, not lost on Coach McDaniel. And I can't wait to watch those guys get out there against somebody else. Long way away from that, but I can't wait for that. But before we do that, let's go ahead and keep covering OTAs here. Next, Coach was asked about what he's seen so far from the rookies and UDFAs. And again, Coach goes beyond the question and gives you a more insightful answer here, talking about the process of building this group up and everybody in the organization being involved in acquiring them, and also the value of UDFAs.
Overall, as a group, I feel that all the parties involved in acquiring them, you know, I hold undrafted free agents with high esteem. Like, they aren't just like throw-ins. They're important to me. We've had a multitude of success over the years having undrafted free agents really impact your team. And what I will say is, as a group, we have, it's a testament to the organization, the scouting department, Chris Greer, and the collection of people, because we have the right types of people. This is overwhelming. You have to understand that rookies, people don't really view it this way, but I was just talking to the guys yesterday, is they are coming in trying to make a living at something amongst people that have been doing it professionally for years. So, and then you're doing that in a language that you're like, what? You know, you just got introduced to stuff, so you're triple behind the eight ball. You get to find out fast if guys are tough-minded enough. And I will say they are made of the right stuff so far, having 1 weekend with them and then this being the second OTA.
We're going to hear from one UDFA turned starter last year with Nick Needham here at the cornerback position, and another UDFA who made a big play in practice today. That's coming up here in just a second. Coach also told us about joint practices this preseason with the Philadelphia Eagles and Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Tampa Bay on the road the first week of the preseason, Philadelphia week three towards the end of August there, with the Raiders sandwich between that. So some good work against other teams coming your way this offseason. And you know we love those training camp joint practices. Up next, I asked Coach about, how does this dream job of yours that you've talked about, you've been working towards this for 20 years, how does this compare in reality to the expectation you had for the job here?
How has your experience lived up to the expectation of your dream job?
Surpassed it. No, it's, you know, it's just really fun to express a lot of the things that you didn't know if you ever had the opportunity to do. And I feel, and I'm surrounded with so many people that are supporting and help driving the force, that it truly feels like a team that we're working together for a common goal, which that is what football is all about.
Two last things I want to touch on here before we get to the Wednesday, May the 17th OTA practice report here live from the Baptist Health Studios. Well, I'm live now, but the podcast isn't live. You guys get it. But Coach talked about, you know, particular veterans who are not participating in this time of year. And he talked about, you know, there are certain guys that have earned the ability to stand off to the side, but not just that. The science backs the fact that maybe that's best served they're not out there. Thought that was really cool, talking about the use of science. He also talked about the use of GPS, or I guess mile per hour tracking, I should say, because he was asked about, you know, the topic we all love to hear about, right? The guys that want to race in a foot race, whether it's Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle, Raheem Mostert, the list goes on and on of guys on this team who are absolute burners and speed merchants. And he talked about, well, I'm not going to stop them, but I'm not going to make them do it. So it's pretty much up to them. And then he also mentioned that I'm more curious about who can run the route the right way, who can cover a go ball, and talking about how that speed is tracked by their the mile per hour tracking they do have. And he did mention we have a few guys out here running 20, 21 miles per hour, which I'm sure you guys can guess who they are. So great stuff there from Coach. You can find the entirety of that up on the team YouTube channel. Let's go ahead and pause for our first break and come back with our first practice report of the Mike McDaniel era, our first practice report of 2022. Can you tell I'm fired up yet? Let's go ahead and do that next. Drive Time Podcast, your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by AutoNation. Back here on this Wednesday edition of the Drive Time Podcast, covering the first day of OTAs as far as our coverage goes here on the Drive Time Podcast. And I want to go ahead and just start off here talking about one of my favorite things to observe every single time we're out there on the practice field: energy. And in particular, this time around, the coaching energy, as the effort you see guys put in on game day, right? Like you'll see it, you'll see screens retraced or defensive linemen chasing down plays on the opposite side of the field, getting back into the second level and retracing that way and just getting all the effort maximized out of each and every guy you possibly can. And those are things that they take only are accomplished through effort and will, right? There's no skill to really help you on hustle, but you can train those things. And that's what we so frequently see out here with these guys. And in particular, I'm talking about defensive line coach Austin Clark. And I always tell Christian when I see him, like, dude, your tape, the way you retrace those screens, it's my favorite thing to watch on Sundays. And he's always really appreciative of that. But you see it on the practice field. They work on those things. They're not just showing up and expecting to hustle on game day. It happens out here on the practice field first. Special teams portion, the thing I really put down in my notes here was that Trent Sherfield and Keon Crossan to me stood out. And that should be no surprise, as both those guys are really lauded for their fight and their effort and their work in the third phase of the game. Both guys have been productive in that area of their career. Now we get to some team notes here. I'm just kind of go through my list of notes that I jotted down here and give you some comprehensive thoughts towards the end. Jalen Phillips showed up on back-to-back plays. And one cool thing about Phillips, and we'll hear from Nick Needham on this in a second, he was wearing an orange jersey out there. And he was going through every drill and everything. And I thought, that's usually, you know, maybe that's a medical shirt. I'm not really sure what that is. Like, you know, the quarterbacks wear the red shirts to, you know, keep your hands off. Keep your hands off this guy in practice. But it's not what it was. The orange jersey was for the practice player of the day the previous day. And so Phillips won that, and he got to wear it. And we later find out from Nick Needham that means you got to choose the music as well as wear that jersey. So it's a big deal now on practice to see who's wearing the orange jersey. And sure enough, the guy in the orange jersey, Jalen Phillips, blows up two plays within his first couple of opportunities. One was a running play where he has a very nice stack and shed, gets off of his block and cuts down a run play right at the line of scrimmage and comes up with a little fist pump celebration. Always easy to tell who makes the play when you see who celebrates afterwards. He then wins with a would-be sack that, of course, does not go as a sack because you're not going to hit your quarterback, but back-to-back big plays there for Phillips on a couple of reps. We had a couple of nice, really, runs throughout the course of this practice. Savon Ahmed had a big rip through the offensive line with a big hole created by Solomon Kinley and Michael Dieter, untouched into that second level, and from there, you know what his speed can do. I thought Zaquandre White, I should say, had some nice-looking runs, finding those cutback lanes, and his ability to get square to the line of scrimmage quickly after pressing and finding out where his gap is, then you get square and you hit that thing quickly. I saw that on tape at South Carolina, saw it in this practice out here the first time I got a chance to watch him play. And that was kind of the entire running back room throughout most of the there was a very short team period, but through most of that practice, seeing the running backs find those lanes, find those cutbacks, and you hit it and you go, see it and go and hit with speed, that's going to be a big factor as far as creating big explosive plays. And we saw that with Savon Ahmed, Zaquandre Wright, Miles Gaskin had a nice rip as well. So the running game got some things cranking after some early reps from the interior defensive line where they were just doing what they wanted to do. So Zach Sealer had a play where he got in there immediately and blew things up. He blew up a screen play with a wicked arm over move that he put on an offensive lineman, and he's at the quarterback before the fake even occurred. Like a potential, you know, in a game day situation, could have been a real big game-changing play if he can put the hit on the quarterback before the ball gets to the running back, and he was doing that throughout the course of the day. Christian Wilkins found his way into the backfield and ran clean at the quarterback, and he finished his celebration about 30 yards down the field, doing the arm swing and all kinds of fun stuff. He was high-stepping, having a good time with it. And on defense also, thought Noah Igbinoghene really showed some of his stuff. Had a really nice pass breakup working against Jalen Waddle on one particular rep that kind of showed what he can do, the physicality of his game, and kind of learning into year three now and processing all those things and making his whole game come together. We'll talk to him in just 1 second about that. But him on the edges, Nick Needham was out there competing all day. Javon Holland, Brandon Jones, all these guys I thought kind of stood out as guys that moved fast and played fast and looked pretty good out there, among others, of course. But those are the guys that made it into my notes. And then up front, you know, Zach Sealer, Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis, just getting after it. Jalen Phillips, the linebacker core, doing some stuff as well. So a fun practice on the defensive side. As far as the offense goes, boy, there was a lot of fun passing to be seen on this particular day of Miami Dolphins OTAs. And we started off with Tyreek Hill, who just was creating separation really from the onset on multiple different routes, multiple different looks. Gosh, he is something else to watch out there. He came clear where he created like 5 or 6 yards of separation, good pocket for Teddy Bridgewater, and his shake at the top of the route, It left his defensive back, you know, which way is this guy going to go? And he breaks it off, of course, and he finds 5 or 6 yards of separation, a good solid 15, 20 yards through the air completion. Then who knows what the heck it would have been after that. He also did it on, again, a variety of routes, just finding ways to create separation, sell the takeoff, go a different direction, sell this route, go. I mean, it was consistent with him and the urgency that he creates among those defensive backs and the urgency in general that he and Waddle together create. It shows up. It's as advertised. And it also kind of can influence the flow of the defense as well. There was one play where he went one direction, and you kind of see the defense flow that way, and the ball goes back the other direction. Now, I'm sure that was intended for the Miami Dolphins here in this acquisition, but he can do things with the football, and he can do things away from the football that I think really, really help you. And then Jalen Waddle, I mean, you guys knew that I loved his game out of college into OTAs, but where he really sold me last year was in training camp, just catching everything, the hands on balls off the frame, plucking that thing, pulling it into his body, and just kind of having a natural ability to get out there, expose yourself for as long as you have to catch the football, corral that thing back in, protect yourself, and then stay clean from there. And he just, whether it's tight coverage and making those tough catches where he goes to the ground, survives, you know, the contact on the football, or catching it in stride and taking off, it all just showed up today. And I thought it was a good example of how he and Hill can work together, creating separation, creating this urgency, and the way they both pluck the ball clean of their frame can certainly create some opportunities for Tua to put the ball like a little bit out in front, snag that thing with your hands, and don't slow down and stride and keep that thing ripping, and you could hit some big plays that way too. So I thought we saw that from both Tyreek and Jalen in this practice. Saw Mike Gesicki catch a ball that I thought was a good example of that, him kind of having some space in the field to work with because of the presence of Waddle and Hill, and I think it's going to show up a lot as we go along here. Let's talk some quarterback play, shall we? I thought Tua was sharp throughout the course of this practice, Bridgewater as well. And Tua, you know, in the individual drills, watching him a little bit, man, talking about those routes, you know, off the frame, putting the ball in trajectory to run towards the end zone, we saw that consistently. And the ball was out quick, and it was on time, on target. Just looked really good out there, I thought. And that showed up pretty early in the team period when he hit Preston Williams right over the outstretched fingertips of Nick Needham, who was in really good position for the coverage. But Preston gets in behind him, and Tua just kind of lobs this thing up over the top of him. He can't quite get the fingernail on it. It comes down right into the bucket, an absolute dime. Preston catches it and takes off. I put it was a 68-yard touchdown. I thought it was ran from the 32. I saw some other beat guys say 70 yards, 75. So I'll be more clear on that next time. I thought it was a 68-yard touchdown, but we'll see next time. And just real quick, again, on a Tua point, you know, I really appreciate the ability to get the football into tough locations, not just with one trait, but multiple traits. Like, for instance, there was a throw he made that he really had to get it out there quick, and with a quick setup, the quick delivery, but also just the location of the football to put it away from where the defender can drive. We saw it a lot in this practice. We've seen it in the history of Tua's career. Thought it really showed up today in this particular practice as well. So Gesicki, Preston Williams, we had Waddle and Hill. What else did we get? Zaquandre White wanted to cover him. Savon Ahmed. That's pretty much it. That was pretty much the notes from practice day. A lot of good stuff out there. A little back and forth. Some offensive wins. Some defensive wins. Thought the physicality was good. Some good mix of run and pass. Some chunk plays. Some defensive wins. Some sacks. Some run stuffs. Some chunk gains on offense. The long touchdown. Pretty much everything you want to see from a practice, especially day number one here in OTAs. And that's going to do it. We'll come back on the other side here and get to the post-practice media. I talked to Nick Needham. I talked to Noah Igbinoghene and Liam Eichenberg. And River Craycraft. Go Cougs, baby. Next Drive Time Podcast. Your host, Travis Wingfield, brought to you by AutoNation. Really enjoyed my chance today on this Wednesday, May the 17th, to talk to Dolphins cornerback Noah Igbinoghene after practice, who had a really good practice, I thought, breaking up some passes, getting in the mix on coverage a few times. Let's go ahead and talk to him first now about how does it feel to be playing under Sam Madison and Patrick Surtain in that defensive backfield?
I love them, especially. I feel like there's definitely a lot of experience now in the room. Not saying it was last year, but those guys played the position. They played it at a high level, and just to be able to learn, and they're great teachers as well. So I'm blessed to be able to learn from them.
Also, the chance to learn from Xavien Howard and Byron Jones, and he had plenty of reps in this practice today. Did Noah Igbinoghene? How good was it for him to have a chance to run against guys like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle? Here's Noah.
It's big time because those are two really good receivers, and just to be able to go against them. And there ain't a lot of guys like that in the league as well. So just be able, again, just to go against them in the season, those are a lot of receivers are not as good as them. And so their speed and the way to catch the ball, stuff like that, just to be able to go against them, it's a blessing to have them on my team.
And what does the confidence of making a couple of plays in practice do for you out here at this stage of the season, off season?
I mean, it's a lot of confidence. But like I said, I got to come back and do it again the next play and do it again the next play and do it again. So I'm not saying that play doesn't matter, but again, I got to be able to move on. That's what playing corner is, man. You got to have a strong mental as well as physical as well. So.
Strong mental, strong physical. It's a good defensive backfield here, and we stay in that defensive backfield with cornerback Nick Needham, who first was asked, how does it feel to get that second round tender and get back here to Miami?
No, it was a blessing. I wouldn't rather play anywhere else than Miami. This is my first team that gave me a shot and kept it honest with me and brought me up from a fat, you know what I'm saying, young dude out of shape, get right, practice squad, to, you know what I'm saying, starting and then playing with these guys. So I can't be more grateful for that opportunity. And I'm ready to just keep proving that, you know what I'm saying, that I can play and compete in this league at a high level and just keep going up from there.
First time for a lot of us seeing the speed of Hill and Waddle on the field together, but I wanted to ask Nick about how it compares to on the field versus on the tape. Here's Nick Needham talking about the speed of this Dolphins receiving core.
It's like, you're like, oh, damn, he's fast on film, but then when you really get right in front of him, you're like, oh, man, like, it's definitely, those two definitely have a different speed, and it's going to be great this year to just work versus that every day, because it's like, man, nobody going to be faster than these two, so, like, you know what I'm saying, we win versus them, it's like, we should, you know what I'm saying, we should win a lot.
Competition on offense, competition on defense. Here is Nick Needham telling us about the orange practice jersey that Jalen Phillips is wearing. And another perk that comes along with that, the music selection.
Oh, yeah, so yesterday he won practice player of the day. So they get an orange jersey, and then they get to choose the music for the whole day. So, yeah.
You feeling it?
It was cool, yeah, it was cool. First, I mean, in the beginning of practice, he kept playing three songs over and over. So that was no bueno, but then he changed it, and it was good.
So naturally had to ask Nick, does that kind of fire you up a little bit more, give you a little more motivation to go out there and dominate? And he said, not really, but maybe me, because a certain type of music that no one else plays out here.
No, I wouldn't say that. Maybe me, because no one plays California music out here. So I definitely want to win and play only Cali music. Yeah. I think they just tell you after practice and then you get it right for the next day.
So spoke to those three guys, got audio on that, and I also talked to River Craycraft, Washington State Cougar alumni. He gave me a go Cougs. I asked him about the difference between the Palouse and down here in South Florida. Said pretty hot, but I also, you know, it was warm back in California, but you cannot replicate this humidity. He's a California guy that made his way up to Pullman to the Palouse. Also gave me a go Cougs, which was a very cool moment for your boy here on the podcast. I also liked him talking about what this receiving room is together and what he thinks he can bring to the receiving room, saying it was the closest knit group he's been a part of so far in the National Football League. And also just, you know, he mentioned the talent and the ability of guys like Hill and Waddle, but also the experience and knowledge and knowing your role and what you can bring to the room. And he said that his ability to kind of communicate the offense, the system, the checks, the calls, all that fun stuff, that he believes he provides a lot of value in that way, which that gives you a really good balance in the receiver room, right? Guys that can know and can do, but can do both and can teach each other and depend upon each other. That knowledge across the room is only going to help everybody in there get better, especially when you have that willingness to help each other get better. And from River Craycraft's comments, it sounds like we have that here in this Dolphins wide receivers room and really across the entire team. Let's go ahead and finish up here on the offensive lines. We heard from Dolphins offensive lineman Liam Eichenberg, and we start here with Liam discussing his buddy in San Francisco, former Notre Dame Fighting Irish offensive lineman as well, Mike McGlinchey, and the benefits of this system, of this coaching staff on an offensive line. Here's Liam talking about his conversations with Mike McGlinchey and what he thinks this offense can do for his game and his skill set.
Yeah, I feel good. I feel good. You know, this offense does well for offensive linemen. You know, my buddy McGlinchey on San Fran loves it. And, you know, I'm happy with what's happening here. You know, we've got a lot of guys that showed up for OTAs. We're working hard. You know, I think it's a lot about technique, and, you know, I pride myself on that. So I think it's good for us. And a lot of guys are, you know, getting the hang of it and they're improving. So just one day at a time.
So one thing we discuss in the podcast here a lot is the affirmation of Chris Greer, Mike McDaniel, the Dolphins offensive staff, to really kind of go to bat for this offensive line group and how excited they are about the athletic ability, the capability of them. I thought it was cool to hear Liam talk about this at his press conference or media availability when he was asked if they've communicated that type of, you know, confidence from the coaching staff to the players. Here's Liam.
You know, all I know is he said that he believes in us, and I mean, that's all I can ask for. So, you know, him giving us opportunity to compete and play and, you know, believing in us is most important thing. So yeah, it's good having a coach that, you know, I mean, he's a good dude and he obviously believes in us, so it's nice.
Let's get one more answer here from Liam Eichenberg. We talked to him a little bit about what Matt Applebaum said about going over the tape and watching last year and pointing out individual performances and evaluating that way. And here's Liam talking a little bit about that, but also what he's done to kind of help himself prepare for this new offense.
You know, I go back now and I watch like Sanford, you know, because it's just different than, obviously, you know, I know what I need to improve on from last year. But as of right now, it's more about, you know, seeing guys, you know, guards, tackles that have done well in this offense and understand the scheme and understand how to run it. So just kind of look at those guys and who are experienced.
So there you go, Liam Eichenberg, Noah Igbinoghene, as well as Nick Needham, and talking a little bit there with River Craycraft. Good stuff there. Fun first day of practice for us here, getting a chance to cover this and bring the podcast to you guys. But however, that is going to be my time. We'll be back with you guys on Friday for another edition of the Drive Time Podcast, and we have more OTAs next week to cover as well. Fun times ahead here in the off-season calendar before that summer break, but we are not going to take a break here on the Drive Time Podcast. We'll have content for you guys all the way up to training camp. In the meantime, though, that is going to be my time. You all please be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating. Leave us a review. You can follow me on Twitter at WingfieldNFL. Follow the team at Miami Dolphins. Check out the Fish Tank Podcast with Seth and OJ. And don't forget to check out the Twitter Spaces show on Wednesday, tomorrow night. I keep saying today's Wednesday, forgetting my days. But that is on Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Also, the YouTube channel for the media availabilities for Dolphins Today, for the Drive Time interviews, and much, much more covering your Miami Dolphins. And last but not least, MiamiDolphins.com. Until next time, fins up, Caroline. Daddy's coming home.